God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. All right. Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. Newcomers, is there anyone here in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. You can use the chat, or yeah, we would like to welcome you. You can do the virtual raise your hand or raise your hand. You can still unmute yourself right now if you want to speak up. I'm kind of sifting through. Okay. All right. This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step 11, and we have Dave and Norma. Everybody would like to welcome them. I'm going to go ahead before I start reading and take away the unmute. Oh, wait. Yeah, you guys can unmute yourself because you're co-hosts. All right, cool. All righty. Let's get this up here. All right. So, step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. The first reading is going to be on page 85. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. All right. I didn't ask who was going first, so whichever one of you would like to go first, go for it.
Okay, thank you. I'm Blind Dave. I'm going to go first, I reckon. So I had quite a journey in my life trying to get to step 11, and I'm going to share that with you briefly because it's important. You see, I first started really trying to get help for my alcoholism, and I went to church back in 1973, hoping to find God. I knew I had a God-sized problem, and by 1987, we're talking about like 13, 14 years later, my religious experience had been so hit or miss in regards to my alcoholism, because I was on again, off again, you know, one of those kind of things, you know how it is. And by 1987, I was just totally baffled by alcoholism, and I was very humiliated as a Christian. And I remember that I told God I was sorry, you know, and that I wished I could be more stable, but I just didn't understand what was the deal. And I remember at that time also voiced to God that more than anything, I wished I could become more stable and learn how to be a real man of prayer. That was the deepest desire in my heart for my spiritual life, was I wanted to learn what it meant to be a real man of prayer. And what I meant by that was I wanted to experience real communion with God, sort of have more of a two-way prayer experience. But I didn't get to AA till 1998. So, you know, like 11 more years had to pass. And when I got into AA, one of the first thing that caught my attention was in step 3, where it says that the how and why of our program was for God to become our director. Now, that really caught my attention. It sounded to me like that I would be getting some kind of a guided communication or something, a deeper experience with God anyway. Sure sounded like that to me. And so that caught my attention, that through these steps, God would become my director. And it went on to say that God was all powerful and he would provide what I needed if I kept close to him and performed his work well. Now, you just read that it works if we have a proper attitude and work at it. So early on, I discovered where it says that if I would keep close to him and perform his work well. And I think that that's a part of the proper attitude for experiencing some kind of a depth in prayer. To be that I would be willing to keep close to God and to perform his work well. You know, it goes on to say that we thought well before taking this step. So for me, I guess I really felt the weight of that decision, that somehow agreeing to do that, if God was going to take me on this journey, that what he asked of me was that I would be willing to utilize it for good purpose and you know, unselfish, to be of service, in other words, to keep close to him so I could be of service. And I realized that it says, think well before taking this step. Make sure you're ready. Well, I thought I was ready. But so God would provide what I need and be my director if I would do that. What that turned out to be as I worked through the steps, I realized that that was inventory, that it was for me to continue to practice this inventory process. And then also to our primary purpose, to be willing to invest myself with some sort of a commitment to our primary purpose. And, you know, it's the big book tells us how most of us come into AA and under the lash of alcohol. Well, that was true for me. But it was also true that I was very inspired by the fact that the how and why of this program was for God to become my director. And I had read the steps, and I saw that step 11 seemed to be, you know, where improving your conscious contact with God. I could see that that was where I was trying to get to, was a real experience of step 11. But of course, you don't get that. You don't just jump from 3 to 11. You got to work some steps along the way. And so 3 made it clear. Now, I mean, at step 5, it began to, my spiritual experience started to become a sort of a unique experience. And I don't know, I guess what I'm trying to say, I don't know how to put in visual terms my experience with step 5. The only thing I could say was that the best way to explain it was I seem to have contacted the sunlight of the spirit. And I have no visual sight at all, but that's what it felt like. If I was going to put it in visual terms, I felt like I had really contacted the sunlight of the spirit in step five. And in step nine, when I was doing the amends process, it seemed to me that that the amends seemed to condense or solidify that experience. And so step 10 told me to continue to practice, watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And it told me to continue to watch for those things. And when I'm wrong, promptly admit it. So step 10 seemed to, I don't know, it really felt like I was maintaining a sense of balance with this newfound spiritual experience, or this new dimension of spiritual experience for me. And that's what step 10 did. It caused me to maintain a sense of balance, or a sense of feeling centered. And I really liked the way that it said, we feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality. And I think that it was important that I practiced maintaining that position before I was really ready for step 11. I don't think you can just jump to step 11. I think you have to grow into it. And practicing step 10 and maintaining that sense of spiritual balance, I felt like was very important for me before I was ever ready for step 11. And sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God. Something that confused me a lot was that I heard people say that prayer is asking and meditation is listening. And the reason it confused me is because of the places in the big book that says, ask him in your morning meditation. Or it said, in meditation, we ask God what we should do. So I was confused when I heard people say, prayer is asking, meditation is listening, because I couldn't seem to distinguish between the two. It helped me a lot when I found where Bill read in the 12 and 12 that prayer is the raising of the heart to God. And in this sense, it includes meditation. So that helped me get past that dilemma a little bit. Another thing that confused me a lot, being that I came from a Christian background, I had already learned and practiced over those years Christian meditation, but I knew not to bring that into AA because we try to keep religious stuff out of AA. But I was very puzzled how come every time I went to a workshop on step 11, or anybody was going to share about practicing meditation, they always seemed to bring in some form of an Eastern religion kind of meditation. I wondered, how could they do that when we're supposed to keep religion out of it? But then I found where it says, if you belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, you may do that also. And so to me also, man, I could still practice my Christian practices, but it said I could do that also. It did not say I could do it instead of. So I had to be real careful to not abandon or replace the AA meditation with some other religious form of meditation. So you read also where it says it is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action. It said it would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. So I meditated on that a little bit. The big book is going to make some definite and valuable suggestions. It definite to me meant that it was going to be clearly defined. And yet I hadn't really felt like anybody had clearly defined it for me. So it was quite an awakening to me when the very next paragraph, which you read, says, when we retire at night. Well, of course, it's an inventory that I'm supposed to try to get in the habit of doing before I go to bed. And it finally dawned on me when it says we're going to make some definite and valuable suggestions. This was the first suggestion of meditation in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. So it was a real awakening for me to realize that my evening review was where I was supposed to begin practicing meditation. And it says at the end of that paragraph, it says, after making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. And all through step 11, it says, we ask God, we ask God, we ask God. And I thought, man, they say we ask God as if I'm supposed to expect an answer. And I realized that I could expect an answer if I had properly worked the rest of the steps. It sort of, like step 10 said, it put me in a position of neutrality. And if I could practice maintaining that sense of balance or neutrality, that in fact, I think step 10 says that we would begin to sense the flow of the Spirit into us. And we become God conscious. We begin to develop this vital sixth sense. And I think that's a time of preparation when I am ready to move into step 11. So another thing I had to come to understand was that, you know, to differentiate between step 10 and 11. That helped me a lot when I finally saw that. You know, people ask me sometimes, they go, so Dave, do you do a written inventory every night? I said, well, they say, do you do a written step 10 every night? And I said, well, if I did it every night, it wouldn't be step 10, it would be step 11. Because step 10 says, when these things crop up. It's as I go through my day, things that are very obvious, they pop up and they rattle me a little bit emotionally. And step 10 is a spot check inventory to kind of quickly deal with that. But step 11 didn't say when they cropped up. It says when we retire at night. So this is learning to watch for things that are not so obvious. And I guess that's why I called it improving my conscious contact with God. So I discovered the benefit of being consistent with doing an evening review. I want to demystify this word meditation, because again, I think since we've really, most people think of it as some sort of a Eastern religious form of meditation, we've sort of really created this mystery around it. And it really just means reflection, a deep reflection. I think that's why we have a book called Daily Reflections. But anyway, I learned the value of being consistent, of in a state of deep reflection to review my day. And I could inquire of God any corrective measures I should take if there's any amends there. And I really did experience God. I felt like that he was helping me or inspiring me to write down how he wanted me to go about making an amends, even kind of what I should say. So that was my experience of getting through the first paragraph on page 86 was that I also learned that there's an accumulative effect. And that's why consistency is important. But anyway, my first real awakening for step 11 was to realize that my nightly review should be with somewhat consistency, and that it was the first suggested meditation. Anyway, thanks. I'll let Norma take it from there.
Yeah. Hi, Norma, alcoholic here. And my sobriety date is August 1st, 1983. This is interesting that you in this area, about in the 1970s, I met a girl, friend of my sister's, and we were playing pool on New Year's, and I was drinking and she was not. And I thought that was strange, you know, and turns out she's in AA. And she told me her story, and now I've got a belly full of booze and a head full of AA, and it's all over, you know. And I ended up going to school in Richmond, Virginia, and I was going to VCA, and it was then that I decided to join AA. And so I don't remember anything except it was a very low bottom club that I went to, and mostly men, and an old guy named Maxie, who helped me tremendously. And I do remember a great big meeting at a big Holiday Inn too. It was frightening, but anyway, here we are again, full circle. And I've always thought about going back and trying to find some of those people and places and things that were so important to me then. I was a little Red Riding Hood, and they protected me from the wolves. Believe me, there were plenty around 37 years ago. I want to thank Amy, too, for inviting us and for all of the beautiful expressions on your faces, because, you know, that's kind of how we're getting by now, how we're getting by. You know, I really like Debbie D. She is really with us, man. I could tell by the look on her face, and I could hear her laughter. You know, in reviewing my day, there are many times that I wanted something for nothing. How many times did I want something from God, but I'm still full of self-will? And I wanted God to provide for my financial needs, but I hadn't paid back any debts, and I had made financial amends. I wanted people to accept me, but I'm still withholding love from someone else in my life. And, you know, I wanted my father, my mother, my sisters, my brothers to respect me, but I hadn't acted much like a daughter. And I hadn't been a very good sister. And as I began to be aware of these things through prayer and meditation, I began to ask for forgiveness for those things and inquire of God, who could always, this changed things for the better. That vital sixth sense that we begin to develop through prayer and meditation, you know, I have five senses. And God gave us a brain to use, yes. And I can get a lot of knowledge from the world. But there's something that comes from God that is a sixth sense, and it's a spiritual thing called wisdom. And it is very different from knowledge. And that's what I rely on. I believe that every step has a gift, a promise, and a prayer. And that's what I'm getting through this step as well. So I will finish this paragraph with those thoughts, and let's move on.
All right, thank you both. All right, the second reading is going to be on page 86, and it says, on awakening, we let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still and experienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking, as time passes, will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it.
Okay, Blind Dave again. So on awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. It took me a while to arrive at this being what worked for me, kind of understanding, was on awakening, let us think of the 24 hours ahead. I usually do that. I usually wake up and try to think what day is it and what's on the schedule for today. But it said before I begin, so I took that to mean I can think about the day, but before I launch out into the day, I am to have a period of time where I ask God to separate me from selfishness, from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. It's a little period of time, because it says under these conditions, I can employ my mental faculties with assurance. And once again, that reconnected me with step three, because step three said that I have a new employer and that I'm to keep close to him and perform his work well. And so I realized that the morning meditation was a time I'm supposed to set aside before I let the day get to going around and around in my head too much, that I'm supposed to bring my thinking into his employ and onto the job that I have to do for God in this program. You know, when it says every day we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities, how can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. Well, the morning meditation for me is where I'm supposed to kind of get recentered on that being my primary purpose in this world. And I must not lose sight of the vision by letting the busyness of life crowd it out. So under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties. So I saw this as a time where I'm supposed to bring my thinking onto my primary purpose, which is to carry this message. Which message? Well, of course, the message that's in the book. So I believe for me, this dawned on me one day and was quite a shocker. Because it says that our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. And I felt like that morning that it was telling me that the big book is only a little of what God has to say. The rest is what he wants to say to me about understanding the book and to be more effective at helping newcomers to understand it. In fact, it went on to say that God would constantly disclose more to you. So I realized that that the big book is nowhere near all that God has to say about the book. And my morning meditation is supposed to be where I renew my vision and carry the vision of my primary purpose. I'm supposed to strengthen myself in that and to have a little time where I'm schooling myself in the big book, you know, kind of like a meditative reading. I started learning how to do meditative reading. It said to ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. And well, I guess what I can do each day is try to learn and school myself to be effective at communicating this book to newcomers. It said for me to ask God in my morning meditation to teach me this book, is the way I kind of took that. And it said that the answers would come if my own house is in order, which caused me to think back about that evening review. I became aware that another benefit of the evening review was that it would enhance my morning meditation. I remember one time there was a guy that I was sponsoring, but he had moved across town to another group, got another sponsor. And one day I ran into his wife and I asked, how's Jim doing? And she said, not too good, Dave. You ought to give him a call. So I did, you know, and I said, how's it going, Jim? And he said, I just am not feeling with it. He said, the sparkle seems to be gone out of my program. And I said, well, how is your spiritual fitness? And he said, you know, Dave, he said, I'm going to all the meetings that I always went to. I'm still going. He said, I'm still doing my morning meditations. And he said, I'm still working with sponsees. I said, how are you doing on your evening review? He said, you know, I've never quite developed that habit. And I said, that's why the sparkle has gone out of all the rest of it. Because I believe that the evening review is the portal through which God comes into our life and flows into the rest of my program, beginning with the morning meditation. So I tried to encourage him to take serious. You know, I don't think it's an accident that when the big book is going to give us definite, valuable suggestions on meditation, the first one was the evening review. You know, you'd think if you were going to give me instructions on how to do a 24-hour day, you'd say, in the morning, begin with this, and as you go through the day, do this, and when you retire at night, do this, but it's not in that order. Because it's in the order of priority. And so the evening review is my highest priority. And it seems to be that through that, God flows into the rest of my program. And of course, beginning with the morning meditation. And it really enhanced my morning meditation. God started disclosing more to me of understanding the book. If I would practice that evening review. So ask God in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. So I realized the importance of that. We read another paragraph, didn't we?
No.
Okay, that's where we stopped. Okay, we'll stop there for now.
We've come to rely upon it.
Absolutely. We will come to rely upon it. So we did read another paragraph. In thinking about our day, if we face indecision, here we ask God for inspiration, intuitive thought, or a decision. And we're surprised how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. I learned that if I practiced both my meditations in that order, the evening and the morning meditation with my book open and reading, and it also enhanced my morning meditation if I would take notes. If God gave me some inspirations or some inspired thoughts about what I was reading, to keep to write those things down. And when I started writing down the inspirations that I was getting, I felt like God really opened up the gate when he noticed that I was serious enough to take notes. And so those two meditations sort of caused me to go out into my day with sort of an afterglow, I guess the best way to call it, sort of an afterglow of having spent time with God. And so if I faced indecision, did not know what course to take, I could ask God and seem to have a much greater experience of getting an answer and discerning that answer a little quicker if I was practicing the evening and morning meditations. That guidance for my personal life seemed to come a lot easier. Thanks.
Okay. So asking God to direct my thinking and clearing it of wrong motives, that's really been eye-opening for me, because I can do all the right things for all the wrong reasons. I can go 90 miles an hour playing Miss AA, being this secretary, you know, a treasurer, whatever it is, all kinds of service, and to all appearances, you know, be working a program, being active in recovery. But I had about 3.5 years of what I call sobriety. And, you know, I was just going to meetings. And I wasn't doing anything. I was trying to solve an internal problem with an external solution. And I was still blocked by selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. By now, I'm married. I have a 10-month-old baby. I have a lot of sobriety, and I have no recovery. And I wasn't fit for the service I was trying to do. And the spiritual malady was still there. I hadn't taken the action of asking God to direct my thinking. I hadn't examined the self-pity, the dishonest motives, the selfishness I had. And eventually I discovered this isn't a self-help program. This is an Ask God program. This is a God help program, you know, whatever you want to call it. And I learned that I had not relied upon God. Nor did I have any humility. I was still operating on Norma power. And I'll tell you what, when I'm God, everybody dies. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it goes. But if I can begin my days on my knees, then I'm going to have a very different experience. Let's move on.
Okay.
Not you.
Oh, yeah, he's going to read.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Next. Reading, it's going to be on page 87. All right. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no request for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why.
Okay. Go. Okay. So we usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. And I do believe that God is very interested in taking care of my life, managing it. We started out turning the management of our life over to God. So I assumed here that I'd be given whatever I need to take care of such problems was referring to my problems. But according to the next sentence, where it says we never pray for ourselves, then I don't know for sure that asking God to give me whatever I need to take care of my problems is what's being inferred here. It may be that I'm asking God to give me whatever I need to help people with their problems. And so we never pray for ourselves, it says. In fact, it says twice that we are careful not to do that. And so there's, again, some more of the right attitude, which makes prayer work. And I realize that if I maintain this attitude, that prayer really did become, it really works, as it's going to say here in a minute. It really works. It works. It really does. And so I begin to realize how much prayer was a real form of service. And particularly if I maintain a clear conscious contact with God, it seemed like that the first thing I want to do with my new and improved conscious contact with God is to realize that I can do a lot of service work through prayer for other people. And I have taken that as a very serious part of my service work. It's not all about face-to-face working with another alcoholic. There's a whole lot of service work that I can do through prayer. And so when I do my nightly review, after I make sure that I have swept off my side of the street, I kind of look at it as though I have just kind of gone through some sort of a ceremonial procedure to prepare me now to stand before God on behalf of others. And I feel a real responsibility to stand in that office. and to pray for people. I usually pray for whoever was in my life today that I had any kind of, you know, I didn't pray for everybody that was in my life today, but those I talked with for a little bit. Anybody that I actually felt like that we had a moment together, I would pray for them. But I would first do my little ceremony of a nightly review and pray, you know, to pray for people. So I guess that's what I got out of that paragraph. Did we read the next paragraph?
No.
Okay. So I really feel like that that the proper attitude, and not every, you know, laboring in prayer for myself, but to the program is to put me in a position where prayer really works and where I can really serve others by prayer. Thanks.
Prayer and meditation, I've thought, you know, especially recently, what is the purpose of this practice? What is the purpose behind it? And it says in the step, knowledge of God's will. You know, that is my treasure today. What is God's will as opposed to Norma's will? I already know what my will is, and the power to carry that out. It is something to want that power, the power, God's power. And it's the power of love, in my opinion, you know, to carry it out, because I'm normally very selfish and don't care about anybody else but me. And it's going to take the power of God for me to be unselfish and, not use my character defects as weapons that come out to defend myself against the world, but to use the spiritual principles. And step 11 helps me find out who God is, helps me gain access to his power to carry out his will. And yeah, it's simple, but not easy, as our founder says. And this is always going to be the struggle between my will, self-will, and the fear behind it, and God's will. And the more I practice the spiritual process, the more I begin to experience spiritual success. I can get material success. I can get success in many areas of my life, believe me. But to be a person of character, you know, that is a whole nother journey. When it talks about us sharing our experience, strength, and hope, for me, that means experience with God, strength in God, and hope in God. And as Dave says, there's a residual effect. The more I practice prayer, the more I practice meditation, instead of feeling comfortable and familiar with fear and selfishness and ego-driven actions, I get more familiar with love, with forgiveness, compassion, and humility. And it feels good. Never on the onset, you know, but afterwards it does. And then it becomes a way of life. You know, prayer doesn't change my circumstances. Prayer changes me and gives me the ability to match calamity with serenity. God always uses circumstances to teach me, but my responsibility is to practice, to pick up the tools that were given to us so freely. It's just like a soldier, you know, a soldier has to be prepared to go into battle. We don't know the day the battle's gonna come. I mean, it's here, but still, you know, we don't know what day we're gonna need to be in practice of these spiritual principles in our way of life. We can go on happily for a long time, but then when it hits the fan, you want to be ready, you want to be equipped. So just like a soldier who has to do the physical maintenance to stay in shape, I got to practice, you know, strengthening my spiritual muscles. And you know, when I have that spiritual strength, I have spiritual success and a way of life that is unmatched by any other way of life I've ever wanted to have. All right.
Thank you. Oh, wow. That even took over mine. So I'm going to actually, I think, group readings 4 and 5 together, because we only have about 15 minutes left. And then if we get to the 6th one, then we get to the 6th one. But there's a lot of good stuff here. So They're both on page 87 for anybody that's following along. It says, if circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. This is the fifth reading. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does.
Okay. So if circumstances warrant, we ask our wives and friends to join us in morning meditation. I can remember back in my religious days that I would try to get, you know, my wife to want to join me. And we felt like, oh, we're supposed to have this morning meditation time together. And sometimes it didn't work out very consistently. We couldn't schedule ourselves that way. But we both do morning meditation in quiet time. But sometimes she's sitting on one end of the couch, I'm sitting on the other. She's having hers, I'm having mine. We do pray together through the day when things come up that pertain to us, you know, a little bit. But we both are very committed to it. We just don't try to tie ourselves together and try to read the same thing or all that, because that always failed for me when I tried to do that, you know, very rigidly. But if we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. And I mentioned this a while ago. Also does not mean instead of. I have AA instructions how it's best for an alcoholic, definite and valuable suggestions, how it's best for alcoholics to practice maintaining his spiritual health. And it's right there on page 86 and 87. And so if I only have time to do one, I will do my AA practices. And if I have some time left over, I can do some of my religious meditations as well. But it says, if not members of religious bodies, some of us like to select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we've been discussing. And so when it says, be quick to see where religious people are right, that would be in finding prayers that seem to be very compatible with our AA program, if you want to use some of those. But for me, and I, in my religious experience, I was more in the Pentecostal thing. You know, we thought we were full of the Spirit and we moved by, you know, in the moment. And we used to make fun of churches that had selective readings, you know, where you read the same little thing every day. The priest says, good morning, class, and you respond. I used to make fun of that stuff, but I don't anymore. There is a value in having a select prayer that I use verbatim every morning. And that's how I begin the day with getting, and the two times I get on my knees is this morning prayer and my evening review. And so I usually begin my day with a select prayer. For me, it's I like the third step prayer and the seventh step prayer. I pray those. And then I get up, open my book, and do my meditative reading, which is also enhanced when I decided to include writing, as I said before. And as we go through the day, Again, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. And it seems to be a benefit of the afterglow of consistently doing my two meditations on a daily basis. And so I can, I no longer run the show. I feel like God gives me guidance, and it is an accumulative experience. And like it says, we become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we're not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. It says that right there at the end. And we alcoholics are undisciplined, so we may have to ask God to help us to just start off with something simple, and God will help you to make it grow. But I found that these three things, the evening, the morning, and as we go through the day, I describe it as a three-tiered fountain. And so the water comes out up here at the top and fills up this little bowl. It's a small bowl. It's the easiest one to do. But it's also the first place that I feel like my conscious contact with God enters my life. And that's my evening review. And if I'm consistent, that little bowl fills up and spills over into another bowl. It's a bigger bowl. It's called my morning meditation. And I can expand that bowl to however much time I like to read and study and write. And if I practice that, when that bowl is full, it spills over into the bottom bowl, the big one, which is called my life. And in that order, God becomes my director in my personal life. It's a trickle down effect. And I can shut the whole thing off by just reaching up here at the top, this evening review, and just sticking my finger on that little hole where the water comes out and just stop the evening review. And little by little, this whole thing will dry up all the way down. And I'll find myself going to meetings, just going to meetings. And I'll find myself reading, and that's all I'm doing is just reading. And all of the spirit will leave my program. And I'm just going through the motions. Norma talked about sobriety. Anyway, that's it for me. Thank you.
Do I have time to share, or should we?
No, you have a minute.
Yes? Okay. All right. So, you know, when I meditate, I love to select a prayer to meditate upon. And one of my favorites is the prayer of St. Francis. I never thought I would ever be like the person described in that prayer, loving, understanding, forgiving, and compassionate. But, you know, in time, after practicing the principles, gaining guidance, wisdom through step 11, I can say that is true for me today. And I know that when I get into worry, remorse, and morbid reflection, as I talked about earlier in this step, it's because I'm looking at three doors, which have three things. Door number one, my greatest fears. Door number two, the outcome I hope for. And, you know, door number three is always a surprise. It's what God will do in answer to a prayer, not in the way I ever expected it to happen. But, you know, it's very hard to surrender my will to God's will. But when I do that, it's always a good outcome. And it's amazing the anomalies, to quote, you know, Spock, that we have in the AA way of life. We have to surrender to win. We have to die to self to live. Everything we do contradicts the normal dog-eat-dog kind of life, but it works. And Bill said, uncommon things become common things. The age of miracles is still with us. And so the more I practice consistently step 11, the more this has become true in my life. And, you know, we have entered the world of the spirit. And that means I get to leave that world of fear and selfishness behind.
Amen.
Thank you both so much.
Love it. Thank
you. Awesome. So I am going to give everybody the ability to unmute themselves and thank our speakers real quick.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Norma. That was incredible. What a gift to have you here from Texas.
Amazing. Amazing.
Thank you. Incredible.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Putting a smile on my face.
Thank you both so much. Absolutely amazing.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome.
We're happy to be here. Thanks for including me, Amy.
Yeah, I didn't. Norma told me I didn't remember who it was that invited us here until I heard her say thank you, Amy. So I didn't do that. So thank you, Amy, for the invitation.
Well, thank you all for taking me up on it.
All right.
I'm going to just go ahead and mute everybody again. Pass the seventh tradition basket. If David, if you don't mind, would you put that in there? I kind of got it here, but I'm not going to be super quick with it.
It's done. It's in.
Thank you so much. All right. So seven tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting to declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. It keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to carry the message to the alcoholic still suffers. Getting mixed up here. All right, our common welfare, word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Are there any AA-related announcements? Real quick, if anybody has one, you do have the ability to unmute yourself at your own will.
Alcoholic David, we've got the delegates report this coming Saturday. I don't know the date, but it's next Saturday at like 10 a.m. TidewaterInnergroup.org has the information on the calendar. So it's a once a year opportunity to hear the delegate from Virginia give her report. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
All right, Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Will all home group members please raise their hands? Awesome. Love you guys. All right, sponsorship questions. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available in this Zoom room after the meeting. Please feel free to talk to me. And if you're shy, you can send an email to info@simpleactions.net. In closing, I'm going to let everybody, actually anybody can unmute and thank the panel one more time if you'd like, but we can do that after we pray up. Yeah, I'll unmute everyone after the Lord's Prayer and give everybody a chance to say thank you. BJ, would you mind reading the last two paragraphs on 164?
I'd love to. Thank you. My name is BJ. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you guys so much. That was incredible. Man, a vision for you, big book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. We can do a little virtual circle up if y'all would like, followed by the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you guys for an awesome meeting.
Thank you very much.
Woo! That was amazing.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, hopefully. I was surprised nobody joined in on that. I was hoping that everybody was able to unmute them.
Thank you both so much.